mind is that there is an enemy that is opposing us. There is an enemy out there that is wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. And by the way, the enemy is this enemy that we will be exposing is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if young, old, doesn't matter whatsoever. And so the enemy is there, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so today, what we want to do is we want to just begin laying some foundation, opening up our eyes to the enemy. I heard a statistic just recently, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, and that's this. Barna Research says that 60% of Christians do not believe in the devil. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, if 60% don't believe in the devil, then probably the devil is having his way a whole lot in their lives. And then I got to thinking, and then those that do believe in the devil, the 40%, are probably not aware of his activity in their life because they don't understand what he does. You know, the devil has different hats that he wears. I brought some hats up here to put on. I don't even know how to wear this thing. Is this the front? It's the back? Okay. See, I'm not even... Somebody's got a small head. Golly. And so the devil wears different hats. And sometimes he comes at you one way, depending on the hat he's wearing. And another time he may come at you another way, depending on the hat he's wearing. You know, the Bible says that he could come as an angel of light. And so many times he'll come at us and we're not aware of his activity in our life, and we're here to expose his works. I see him having his way too many times because of the different hats that he's wearing that people don't recognize. And so he's, how do you like this one? And so good thing we're not on camera here. And Instagram, here we go. But I want us to understand that we're really in a spiritual warfare. Ephesians, it's not going to be on the screen up here, but the Bible tells us that we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says to put, and in order for us to do that, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And then it tells us why, that we may be able to stand against the devices of the devil. One translation says the wiles of the devil, which means the devices. He has different devices that he comes at us with. And that's what we're wanting to do, is we're wanting to expose his devices. And the Bible tells us that some of his devices are recognizable. Some of us, if we don't watch it, he'll come in like light. We can always recognize it if we know the word and we're following the Spirit. We can recognize that. And so we're gonna be unfolding that. So I want to take you to, first of all, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And it says this. It says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." By the way, in Ephesians 6, one of the terms that is used for the devil is the ruler of darkness. And so he rules, he occupies darkness. Anytime we get into a place of darkness, he can have his way in our life. That's why we need to walk in the light, even as God is light. Come on now. Doesn't mean that you won't falter or fall. Immediately, we can repent and get right back up. But sometimes many people will sit there and continue on in sin and doing wrong things and walking in darkness. And that's where the enemy comes and he devours. The Bible says he seeks whom he may devour. He can't devour us unless we give him permission to devour us. And so we're going to learn this. So the Bible says rather we're to expose them. We're going to expose the devil today. Amen. That's what we're going to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Lest Satan take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, ignorance just means unaware, uneducated, uninformed. And so we need to be informed about the devices of the devil so that we give him no place in our life. I don't want him to have any place in my life. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, nor give place to the devil. That we're not to give him any place in our life. So if it tells us and instructs us to give him no place, then there's an indication that we can give him place. There's an indication that we can give him inroad into our life. Even though we have authority over him, we can give him authority in our life. And so we want to not allow that to take place. And so what we want to do in exposing the enemy, we want to talk about Lucifer. We're going to just start at the beginning, Lucifer. And so we're going to talk about exposing Lucifer today. And the hat that Lucifer, I don't know what hat he wore, but the hat that he wore as Lucifer. Now, understanding that was his name before he was kicked out of heaven. Amen. Lucifer. Am I looking sharp? Yeah. Do what? It needs to fit a little better. But anyway, Lucifer, he was an amazing, amazing creation of God. The Bible talks about him being so beautiful and just abilities. The guy was talented, and he allowed it to get to him. He allowed it to get to his head. And we need to understand that if this happened in a perfect environment called heaven, not only did it get to his head, but one third of the angels also followed him, and they were all kicked out of heaven. And that was in a perfect environment. Without sin, without fault, without any kind of blemishes whatsoever. I mean, had access to God. We're going to read here in just a moment. Lucifer had, he was in God's presence without reservation. See, we have reservation. We have this flesh that we have to deal with. We experience God's presence, but it's not in his full presence. Yeah, I mean, we experience the manifested presence of God, but not without reservation. There's some reservation. We still have this flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I want to read to you from Ezekiel chapter 28. We'll start at verse 14. It says, I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. The Amplified says, sparkling jewels. You were blameless. Now, first of all, it says you had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among these stones. So he had access to God. He was around God. He experienced God all the time. But it goes on to say in verse 15, you were blameless in all you did from the day that you were created. So he's a created being. Until the day evil was found in your heart. And in verse 17, it says, your heart was filled with pride. Because of all your beauty, your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you. I believe what influenced Lucifer is what he uses to influence us. And that's pride. Pride influenced his life to the point that he wanted to be like God. And many of us, we don't realize it, but we take that same position in our lives. We don't let God be God in our lives. We take that role in our lives where we're God of our lives. We take leadership of our lives instead of followership, instead of following God. And we're not called to lead our lives. We're called to follow God as he leads us. Does that make sense? As Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 12, for you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. The word Lucifer, if you look it up, actually some translations say it this way, is morning star. Again, he was brilliant. He was beautiful. He's gorgeous. And he let it get to his head. Son of the morning, have you not been cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I ascend unto heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north, and I ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. Now notice all the I's there. I. I will do this. I will be this. I will. And see, that's what I believe. I believe that pride and selfishness are inseparable. Amen. That where selfishness is, there's pride, and where pride is, there's selfishness. Amen. And the reason that we're here is because I'm going to expose the devil. I'm going to expose him in our lives. I believe that he's having access to our lives through the vehicle of pride. Or we could say it this way, through the vehicle of selfishness.
Amen.
That's right.
And he's using that in our lives, and he's having a heyday in our lives, and we're seeing people's lives being devoured, being destroyed, being much less than what God intended their lives, our lives to be.
Amen.
And we need to recognize what he's doing. And he influenced greatly while he was in heaven, and I'm here to tell you he's still influencing here on this earth. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about exposing his devices, and the first thing is his activity. He is actively influencing with pride. He's actively influencing with pride. He's an influencer. He's a great influencer. We read in Revelation chapter 12. We're not going to go there, but if you read that, it says that 1/3 of the angels were cast out with him. 1/3 of the angels were cast out with him. Why is that? He influenced 1/3 of the angels in heaven that were experiencing God in his presence and experiencing perfection. We don't experience perfection down here. There is no perfection that you have experienced. You know, there's nothing perfect. Perfect means flawless. God's the only perfect one. He's absolute. When something is absolute, that means there's no room for anything else. He is absolutely perfect. But here on this earth, there's nothing absolutely perfect in any way. And the angels in heaven were experiencing God's perfection without restriction. Yet Lucifer, through his beauty, through his wisdom, through what God has empowered him with, Lucifer used it to influence 1/3 of angels in heaven. And I believe that he's doing the same today. That he's using that in our lives. And he's bringing destruction in the lives of people. The second thing that I see that the devil does is that he's actively deceiving people with pride. He's deceiving. Obadiah 1 verse 3, you were there this morning reading, right? It's like, Obadiah's in the Bible? Yeah, it's in there. It says this, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Now notice here, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. The problem with being deceived is that we're deceived. And I'm telling you, if you ever tried to talk to somebody that is just absolutely selfish and try to convince them otherwise, it's impossible to do. Why? Because they're deceived. They think that their decisions that they're making, the things that they're doing, is absolutely right. And I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Not this t-shirt, but got the t-shirt. Where I thought I was correct. There's been times with my wife where I'm going in there and I'm correcting something in her. And that happens very rarely, but there's times, and I say that on tape because I want her to hear, very rarely. But there's times where I go in to try to bring correction to her, and she frustrates me in the process. And I try to deal with that correction, even though what I'm trying to do is correct. I get over there in the flesh and I get mad or I get unkind and I deal with it that way. And I still think that I'm justified for what I did. And I'm walking around, you know, thinking that I'm the king here. I'm right here. And what's done in the flesh is not good. It's ungodly. Well, if you know Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love is kind. And so whatever I need to deal with, I need to deal with it in kindness. That doesn't mean that I can't be direct. Doesn't mean that I can't be stern from time to time. But I do need to be kind in the way that I deal with my wife. But when you're self-absorbed, when you're selfish about this, and pride is standing its ground, you can be deceived to believe that you're right and she's wrong. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, a lot of us that are there, we're in a place of pride and we think that we're all this and all that, and we're not. And so we've got to be careful that the devil doesn't come and influence, because he's an influencer and he influences us. How does he influence us? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And then what his ultimate goal is that he would deceive us, because when we're deceived, we believe that we're right. Again, the problem with deception is that we're deceived. And Proverbs chapter 13 verse 10 says, where there is strife, there is pride. So if I'm in strife with my wife, guess what the root of that is? It's pride. And what's the root of pride? Selfishness. Boy, well, you guys are good students. At least one of you are. Because you know what I'm talking about. Wait a minute. And you know, I used to have a bad anger problem. I used to have a bad anger problem. And I mean, I had to deal with anger over and over and over, and the results of my anger over and over and over. And really, if you think about it, it's not anger that I had a problem with, it was pride. I had a really bad pride problem. And if you think about it, it wasn't pride that I necessarily had a problem with, it was selfishness. I was very, very selfish. I wasn't thinking about others, I was thinking about myself. And guess what? I really, if you think about it, I really didn't have a necessarily selfish problem. I had a devil problem. I gave him inroad into my life to influence my life and eventually bring me into a place of deception. And guess what? He was destroying my life. He was destroying my relationships, destroying things around me. Amen. And we're exposing Lucifer today. Amen. Selfishness is not okay. Selfishness is destructive. It will destroy. And that's his ultimate goal, is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to do that. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So he's saying here, if it happened to Eve, it can happen to you. And I'm a little concerned. No, I'm a lot concerned that that could happen. And I'm here to tell you, Lord, help me. I need him every day. By the way, I'm gonna just make this statement. You've heard me, if you've been around here very long. If you're not praying on a daily basis where you're really pressing in and seeking God and have a prayer time, amen, you're already in pride. Amen. You're already being selfish. In that you're thinking that you can do life and ministry without him. And I'm here to tell you, you cannot. We need him desperately. We need God every day of our lives. And that's not meant to say, I'm stating that, not meant to condemn anybody. I know that there's a lot of people that are there. What I'm doing is I'm exposing the devil because he's influencing you to think that your life's okay where it's at. And it's not. He wants to get us away from the Word. He wants to get us off over there in a place where he can destroy us. Let me make a couple of statements. First of all, let me read James chapter 4, and then I've got to zip through some thoughts for you. James chapter 4, 6 through 8, it says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." In other words, we need to be all in.
That's right.
We've got to be all in. And how are we to humble ourselves? Because he gives grace to the humble and God resists the proud. The Bible says that we've got to be single-hearted, single-minded. We need to put God first in our life. And we need to pursue him in our lives, okay? But here's what I want you to say. I want you to understand. Number one is that pride leaves us exposed. It leaves us exposed to the devil. Remember Eve when she sinned? When she was influenced by the devil and she was deceived,
yeah.
Guess what? It left her exposed.
Yeah.
And the same stands true with us. And guess what? The devil tried to do the same thing to Jesus in tempting him. He came with the same temptations that Eve experienced from the serpent, from the devil. He came to Jesus. The devil did the same thing with Jesus. He came through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we're going to talk about those here in just a moment. But it leaves us exposed. The second thing we need to understand is that pride leaves us defenseless. The Bible says that God resists the proud. Now, it's bad enough that the devil's going to attack us. But it makes it doubly bad when God starts resisting us. And let me tell you, God, he's doing it for our benefit. He resists us because he can't allow us to continue on in the same place that we are in because it's only get worse. And so the resolve to this is that God's not a bad God. God just says, humble yourself. I'll give you all the grace you need in your life.
Amen.
You'll have everything that you need to be able to deal with the devil, but you're going to have to open the door to me through humility, by humbling your life to me. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
One of the toughest things that I have to deal with is selfishness in my life. I have to deal with it every day. How about you guys?
Yeah.
One of the second toughest things I have to deal with is your selfishness.
Amen.
In my life. Pastoring people that I'm helping or trying to help not be selfish.
Amen. That's right.
Is a difficult task. Amen. Have you ever tried to round up cockroaches? Or cats. It's tough. Because that's how it is. When people are selfish, they're just going everywhere which way. And thank God we have a lot of unselfish people in our church. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But it's a tough thing. Every one of us, I just want to say this up front. Every one of us have to deal with this every day. Proactive. We have to be proactive every day because we are being tempted by the devil, the same one that tempted Eve, the same one that tempted Jesus, is tempting you and I every day to be selfish. Why? Because he wants to deceive us with the ultimate goal of killing, stealing, and destroying us. And that's what he wants to do. And if he can do that, he's got us where he wants us. Why? Because he knows if we give into it, it leaves us defenseless. We resist him only after we have the grace of God on our life to be able to resist him with.
Amen.
So, I want to talk about how he actively influences our life. How does he do that? How does he actively not only influence but deceive us in our life? Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And the Bible says that the devil is the ruler of this world. Okay? And so he uses he's done it for centuries, he's still doing it. He uses the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life in our lives, and that's how he comes in and helps us to be selfish. Or to be prideful, or to enter into a place of pride. And what is pride? When we think our way is better than God's way. When we're not picking up the Word of God and living by the Word of God and living by what God says, then we are being prideful and saying, "God, it's our way that's the best way and not your way." And that's really a prideful statement. I know what you say, God, but, oh my gosh. So, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how Lucifer is actively using and influencing and deceiving with pride. First of all, he actively influences and deceives with self-gratification. The lust of the flesh. He told Jesus, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "command these stones to become bread." That's the lust of the flesh. Do you know he's still doing that today? That he appeals to us through the flesh? He does that. He does it all the time. And it's easy for every one of us to just slip on over there and be in the flesh. But we're exposing him today. This is a hat that he uses. He uses pride or selfishness to have inroad into our life. He does that in every one of our lives. How does he do that? He wants us to seek self-gratification. How did Jesus deal with it? Well, let me give you the subtitle of this. He used the word. How to address pride? Live life by the word of God and not by what gratifies selfishness. Jesus said, "We don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We live by his word. That's where we turn. That's where we look. That's where we go. We don't put on the hat of self-gratification. What gratifies? Well, there's going to be times where there's just things that we do that's not, it's the flesh isn't going to like it. Matter of fact, there's going to be a lot of times the flesh isn't going to like what God wants us to do. Some people had a hard time fighting this morning the battle of the blankets just getting here. But thank God, you're here. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, it says, "So the attitude that comes from selfishness is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law because it can't. People who are self-centered aren't able to please God." When we give in to selfishness, what do? We're pleasing ourselves instead of pleasing God. When we give in to the Word of God, what are we doing? We're pleasing God and we're not concerned about ourselves because life isn't about us. And we've got to start living our life not for ourselves, but what pleases God. Secondly, the devil, Lucifer, actively influences and deceives with self-interest. Self-interest. Remember the lust of the eyes, the things that we see? The devil took Jesus up to an exceeding high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And this is the lust of the eyes. The things that interest us. Things that we see that interest us and what we want and how we want to be doing this and involved in this. And I'm telling you, we've got to focus in on God. It's what do you want? And I'm going to tell you, the more that I grow and love God, the more that I see that these other things don't interest me anymore.
Amen.
The more that I experience God, the more I experience the... And by the way, the things that I'm pursuing in the flesh, once I get them, they don't gratify anyway. They leave me wanting. They leave me disappointed. Dissatisfied. Thank you for helping a brother preach. They just leave me dissatisfied. Kind of like this hat that doesn't fit. I put it on, it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. So how do we counteract that? How do we address pride in that? Well, live life for what honors God and not for what you see that interests you. Start looking at what honors God. God, I'm going to do what honors you. Jesus did that.
Amen.
And then let me just leave you with this last thought as I close. And again, Lucifer is actively influencing and deceiving with pride. And how does he do that? He does it, lastly, through self-promotion. And this is something that happens more often than we realize. The pride of life. Satan came to Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. This is if you are. He told Eve, he says, did God really say? If you are the Son of God. The pride of life. The pride of life comes in. And Jesus said, you know what? This isn't about me. This isn't about what I want. It's not about promoting me. It's about promoting him. And so let me give you this thought. How to address pride? Live life to worship God and not what puts the focus on you.
Amen.
Worship God. And that was the ultimate goal of Satan, is that he wanted Jesus to fall down on his knees and worship him. What is worship? Worship is whatever you're focused on the most in your life. It's not just what we did up here before service. That's part of it. But let me tell you right now, if we're focused in on God, then we're worshiping God right now. You can worship God at your job. Do you know that your whole life should be a life of ministry? Everything that you do is unto the Lord. That you're not just doing it on Sunday, although that's important. You're not just doing it at your small groups, although that's important. But you need to be on mission all the time, wherever you're at. As a life that's offered up to God is a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Which is your worship unto God. And again, this can happen where we get off course in our lives, where it becomes about us. The focus is on us. I see people in ministry do this all the time. You would think that the ministry was about promoting them instead of promoting Jesus.
Amen.
That's true. And I've been there. I hate to admit it, but I've been there. I've been selfish. I've been self-seeking. And I tell on myself all the time. And I've told you how, if you've been around here, I've told you how the Lord dealt with me. And he says, you're doing ministry for all the wrong reasons. You're doing it for you. You're doing it about your calling. You're doing it about your gifts being released in your life. And you need to start doing it because you love me and because you love people. And you need to shift some things.
Amen.
It's not about promoting me. And if you've ever been around here, you know that I am a servant. I purposely do that. I purposely find ways that I can serve. I want to reflect Jesus through my life. I want to be a servant leader. I lead, absolutely. Do I need it? I lead strong. I lead in however I need to lead. But I'm also a servant. I'm always looking ways to serve. I never want to lose that part of my life, because I know if I do that, then I start looking to me and I start promoting me instead of promoting him.
Amen.
I love it. I love when people come to our church and they're wanting to learn from our church. And you know what I do? I say, you know, it's not about me. I'm telling you, our church is about the people that make this church. And specifically, I talk about our dream team and I talk about our small groups leaders. I talk about them and how the culture here that we have that we so love and enjoy is about them. It could never happen. It's not about me. As a matter of fact, my responsibility, and I say this and I state this all the time, I am no better than anybody else here. Everybody is important, is equally important. If I had some rude greeters or some rude ushers, I'd never be able to have a voice into people's lives. If I had some rude people out there and doing our parking, thank God for our parking people, amen. They had it nice and pretty today, but sometimes it's rainy, sometimes it's hot, sometimes and it's fixing to get cold here. But if they're rude and they're gripey and complaining out there because the weather's bad, golly, gotta do this. No, we don't gotta, we getta. That's bad grammar, but you know what I'm saying. Right? And so, that helps me to not be the focus of my life. And I do this all the time. Folks, I'm telling you, don't worry about whether the attention's on you or not. I used to be so prideful, I didn't realize how prideful I was. I used to make it about me. And honestly, I still have to deal with pride. Honestly, I still have to deal with selfishness. And to be honest, I'm going to have to deal with it the rest of my life. But I'm recognizing it. And I'm also recognizing where it's coming from. It's coming from the one that initiated or brought it here and has influenced Eve to give into it. And it's been passed on to all of us. But thank God we can find victory in Jesus Christ. Thank God that no longer do we have to give in to it. No longer does He have authority over our life or power over our life. That we can respond to Him by the Word. We can respond in these various areas. So we worship. We get in the Word. We honor God. If we'll do these three things, if we'll put the Word first, if we'll honor God first, if we'll worship God, in other words, Him being the focus of our life, then the devil won't have any place. We will not give him place in our lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. And that's how we'll have victory. And how do we do this? One of the famous prayers that Jesus prayed was in Matthew chapter 6. And at the close of his prayer, he said this in Matthew chapter 6, "For yours is the kingdom, for yours is the power, and for yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen." It's not about me. It's you, God. It's you. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought. I no longer have the lordship of my life. I've turned that over to you. You're the Lord of my life. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bow your heads, please.